We are in our Old Testament survey. We are in the poetry section, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Our dear brother Mike McGlackey will be bringing us Ecclesiastes next week. But today, it is my privilege to bring to you a real treasure given to the church by the Lord, the Word of God, the wonderful book of Proverbs is what we're going to look at today. So would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would open your heart? Pray that God would speak to you from the Holy Scriptures, from the book of Proverbs. Pray that God would change your mind, your heart, and your life as we study this beautiful book. Would you pray now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts and touch them and feed them and build them up from the beautiful book of Proverbs. Would you pray now for me that I would give a great introduction to this beautiful book? Help me. Pray that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit and I would speak for Him today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we're going through a survey of the Old Testament, one book per Sunday. And I broke that with the Psalms. I would apologize for that, but I don't think anyone holds that against me. Wonderful, wonderful book. Today we're going to do the entire book of Proverbs. God willing, I will not need two Sundays. So open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1, and let's get started. Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Number one in your notes, we see that the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to give us instruction in wise behavior. We all need this beautiful book, this collection of incredible wisdom. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to give instruction in wise behavior. And in verse 7, we start off with something very important. Number 2 in your notes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom calls out to us like a woman calling out, appealing to us to listen to her. Look at verse 32 behind me on the screen. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me, wisdom, shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Turn to chapter 3. And we have an incredibly important proverb. Some of you remember my dear friend Daryl Goff, an elder here. This is his favorite verse. This is his life verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Can you see what a gift this beautiful book is to us, brothers and sisters? There is a principle, there is a verse that applies to every situation. Every situation you face in life. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Solomon continues to talk to us about the benefits of wisdom in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her, that's wisdom, her profit is better than the profit of silver. Her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14 says this. Look behind me on the screen. My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. It's honey for the soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. If someone were to ask you, do you want $1 million or do you want the wisdom in this book? It's a pretty stupid question, isn't it? It's more precious than gold. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. Solomon continues to talk about the benefits of wisdom and why you should read this book. Proverbs 4, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Wisdom is so valuable, and Solomon gives us wisdom in this beautiful book. He gives us a very, very important principle in verse 14. Look at 4:14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep until they do evil. They're robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous, look at this, brothers and sisters. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My dear family members, as I read the book of Proverbs from one end to the other, preparing for this message on Sunday, one theme comes over and over and over again. Beware of wickedness and follow righteousness. Solomon says this over and over and over again. Wicked behavior is the way of death. Righteousness leads to life. And we see number 3 in your notes. The book of Proverbs is a gift of wonderful warnings about unwise behavior. We can't leave chapter 4 without beautiful verse 23 behind me on the screen or in front of you in your lap. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. In chapter 6, Solomon warns us about sexual sin, specifically adultery. And he's talking about a woman that a man might be attracted to or seduced by or enticed by. And in, go ahead and turn with me to chapter 6, please. Turn to chapter 6, verse 25. And Solomon gives this warning to all men everywhere. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for the precious life. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you want to look for Solomon painting pictures that you can see. Solomon is brilliant that way. He paints pictures for you to understand what he's saying. And here he is. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Isn't that powerful? He says, can you walk on hot coals? Just like you can't walk on hot coals, so you cannot go into your neighbor's wife. Turn over to chapter 7. He continues warnings about sexual sin. Chapter 7, verse 21. He's talking about a young man who was seduced by a young lady. And here we have verse 21, 7:21. With her many persuasions, she seduces him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. And here's the word picture, Trinity Baptist. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. Or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Can you see how powerful this book is? Can you see how important it is that young men read the book of Proverbs? Young men and older men too. Can you see how much pain and suffering the world would be spared if everyone read this beautiful book? Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today embarrassed and shamed. We come before you today so heartbroken because we know that around the world, Christian men, Christian brothers are stepping out, stepping away from their wives and being unfaithful. And Heavenly Father, we pray that whoever those men are today, you would give them your life-giving conviction and they would repent and not bring shame to the church and not bring shame to your name and not ruin lives. Heavenly Father, may Christian men read the book of Proverbs so that the world may know that Christian men are faithful, pure men. For the glory of your name and for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you see how important this book is for all of us to read? There's great general wisdom in the book of Proverbs. I want to show you a bunch of Proverbs right now. Look on the screen. Don't try to keep up with me because we're going to go pretty fast. Just use the screen. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. 16:2-3. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Solomon says this over and over again. He wants us to know that you and I are weak and we have a tendency to justify our own actions. You need to know that. I need to know that. We have a tendency to justify our own actions. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. 26:17, like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. That's a great one. Good picture. 28:13-14, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The word picture again. Have you ever made a project, made a craft, built something using glue or cement? Once it hardens, if it's wrong, that's it. It's hard. And you look at it and you go, oh man, that didn't, there's a flaw there. There's damage, there's something wrong, but now it's hard, it can't be fixed. And Solomon wants us to know that you and I are the same way. Sin in my heart is a flaw. It's an error, it's a contaminant. And God, in His love, wants to fix it. But if my heart is hard, I'm not going to be fixed. See the word picture? 29:11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Isn't that great? Look at the next one. 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. One of Solomon's main themes throughout this beautiful book is the need to listen to advice. A wise man listens to advice. That's something he says over and over again. Look at 10:17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Reproof is when a brother or sister comes to you in love and says, hey, my dear brother, hey, my dear sister, I love you, so I want to point this out to you. You're sinning in this area. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that? That's reproof. Solomon says, if you ignore that, you will go astray. Look at the next proverb. 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Strong words. But if you come to me and you say, Pastor Dave, I noticed this about you, that you're falling short of the glory of God in this area. If I just ignore that, Solomon says I'm stupid. Look at the next one, 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. There it is again. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Look at the next one, 13:18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. My favorite one is next. Look at this. 15:31-32. He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Look what Solomon says. Reproof is life-giving. If your brother or sister comes to you and says, hey, I want to point something out to you. I want to point something out to you. I want to confront you in love. I've prayed about this, and I want to come to you and make this known to you. Solomon says that is a life-giving moment. pay attention. And then 29:1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Don't let that happen to you, brothers and sisters. Humility is a very important theme in the book of Proverbs. Look at 11:2 behind me on the screen. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom about your words in the book of Proverbs. And here's another great word picture, 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that a great picture? Sometimes we speak without thinking, right? I do it, you do it, and Solomon says that's like someone that has a sword and just stabbing everywhere. Just rash. Those words that you don't think about, you're just going like this. And he says, stop and think and pray and make sure your words are healing words. 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. And then finally, 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. I want to suggest something to you, brothers and sisters. Read one proverb every day. It will help you so much. It's a treasure that God has given to us. Don't let the book of Proverbs sit on the shelf. Read one proverb every day. There's a lot of wisdom about money in the book of Proverbs. Here it is, the best financial advice you'll ever get. 10:2, ill-gotten gain does not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. 11:25, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters or helps others will himself be watered. 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. There is this beautiful video series that my children used to watch when they were younger. They don't watch it anymore. Elizabeth would want me to point out that she does not watch this anymore. Okay? But it's this series called Veggie Tales. Wonderful, wonderful video series. Vegetables and fruit giving you good advice. What could be better than that? And there's one particular one that is one of my favorites, if not my favorite. It's called Madam Blueberry. Madam Blueberry. She's a blueberry, and she's blue. And she sings, I'm so blue, I'm so blue, I don't know what to do. Now, if you've seen it, you know that was really good. That's exactly how it was. She's sad. She's really sad because she doesn't have enough stuff. And she lives in a treehouse, so she goes to Stuff Mart. Wonder where they got that name. But anyway, she goes to Stuff Mart, and she buys all this stuff. And she keeps buying more and more stuff, so she'll be happy. And they're loading it into her treehouse, and loading it in her treehouse, and loading it in her treehouse, and the treehouse collapses because there's so much stuff. And she's left there at the bottom of the valley, and she walks by, and she sees this girl sing a song. Isn't that a great song? The girl has nothing, but she has her mom and her dad, and her parents just give her this piece of apple pie and she's happy. And I think back to my own mother, who was a pastor's daughter in the 20s and 30s. They had nothing. They paid my grandfather with chickens. Thank you for not doing that, by the way. They paid my grandfather with chickens. On Christmas morning, there were no presents in her house. None. There was a stocking. And on Christmas morning, her and her sister would come out, and they would open the stocking, and inside the stocking would be a piece of fruit. And maybe a pencil for school in January. But she had her dad and her mom, and there was lots of love in the house. And Solomon gives us this proverb, 15:17. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. The book of Proverbs is an incredible treasure for us. Read one proverb every day. Look at the next one, 19:17. One who is gracious to the poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. And then finally, 22:1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Here's a great one about money. 23:4-5. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Solomon is giving us incredible life wisdom with this beautiful picture of all the money we work so hard. It's gone. 28:19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. There's wisdom about relationships in the book of Proverbs. Look at some of these. 13:20. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What an incredible passage. What an incredible verse. He who walks with the wise will be wise. Next one. 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exerts folly. 17:9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter, gossip, separates intimate friends. Look at the next one. 17:14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Another beautiful word picture. The other day I was at my house and my wife said there's a leak under the sink. And I try not to call Jerry or Doug every single time something's wrong with my house, these poor guys. So I said, well, I'll fix it myself. Ugh. Reach under the sink, here's this valve is leaking. Oh, that's easy, I'll just close that valve. It's not closing. Burst! Water everywhere. Everyone screaming. Mayhem. Chaos. There's the word picture. The beginning of strife is like letting out of water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. What a beautiful word picture. Look at the next one. 23, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Do you see how that's so different from the world? So different from the world. The honorable man stays away from it. 20:19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate
with a gossip. Look at the next one. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Look at the next one. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. 25:21, this is fantastic. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Here's one about joking. Listen to this. 26:18-19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, ha, 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 I was joking. That good? It's great advice. Finally, 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. There's parenting advice in the book of Proverbs. Look at some of these. 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I see Carrie singing up here, and behind him, Michaela, who loves Jesus with all her heart and is going to graduate from high school on Thursday. I knew it was this week. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, even when they are old. They will not depart from it. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And finally, 29:17, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. There's other great proverbs about parenting in the book. Before we stop talking about wisdom, before we leave our survey of Proverbs, I want to show you something in the New Testament. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Do you have that, Jessica? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's talk about wisdom. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, for the word of the cross, the gospel, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I, God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Look at the next. For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, the gospel, to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs, Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness. But look at this. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling. Not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that we may nullify the things that are, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. Christ, Jesus, is the wisdom of God and is wisdom from God. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Paul is writing this beautiful letter to the Christians in the city of Colossae. Colossae. And in the city of Colossae, there were false teachers coming, threatening the church, saying there is this higher wisdom. It's called Gnosticism. It's higher wisdom. It's higher. It's awesome. It's great. We all need to get this higher, better wisdom. And what does Paul write to them? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Paul says, I want your hearts to be knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth. Remember, the Gnostics are saying there's more. There's more wisdom. There's more wealth. There's more knowledge than Christ. You can go higher than Christ. He says, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In whom, look at this, in whom, Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says to the Colossians, you can't get any higher than Christ. And I say to you, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, don't seek any more wisdom. Don't seek higher wisdom. You don't need to look anywhere else than Jesus for wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in Christ. It's all there. In your notes. Number 4. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And so number 5. In your notes. Only with the Lord Jesus in your heart can you truly understand and apply the book of Proverbs. Only with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart can you truly understand the book of Proverbs. So my encouragement to you today, brothers and sisters, is number 6 in your notes. Oh, yes. Go ahead, bring that up, Tom. Look at this. Here's another word picture. This is my last proverb. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Do you see the word picture? You look over into a puddle or into a lake or into a pond, and there is your face. So the heart of man is a reflection of who the man really is. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read the book of Proverbs 100 times, and you will not become a better person unless you have Jesus in your heart. Only the Lord Jesus can change your heart and make you a truly wise person. Why? Because the book of James says that wisdom is first of all pure. And only Jesus can make you pure. So my advice to you is number 6 in your notes. You should read a verse from Proverbs every day. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful gift. I pray for my brothers and sisters that we would love this beautiful book of Proverbs and that we would read it over and over and over again. In Jesus' name, amen.